This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Today I recited the last two verses of Surah Al-Ahzab, which is a very profound and a very deep meaning verse. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna aradna al-amanata 'ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal." We offered the amana to the heavens, to the earth, and to the mountains. فَأَبَيْنَ أَن يَحْمِلَّهَا. They refused to take the amana. وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا. And they became scared of taking the amana. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. But insan took the amana. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Insan was ظَلُوم. He is wronging himself. Jahul, constantly in a state of ignorance. لِيُعَذِّبَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ. Allah Azza wa Jal will therefore, based upon this amana, those who didn't fulfill it, Allah will punish the hypocrites, men and women, and the mushrikins, men and women, and وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And Allah will forgive the believing men and women, and Allah is ghafoor and rahim. Today, inshallah, we'll explain a little bit about these two verses. What exactly is this amana? And how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offering it to the heavens and earth? And what is the status of man that has taken this reality? This verse, of course, it is a verse that is a lot of tafsir, you can imagine. Over 10 different interpretations have been given. We don't have time to go over all of them, but we'll go over some of them. Allah says, we offered the amana, al-amana. One, it is a very big responsibility. We offered the responsibility, not responsibilities. Allah didn't say we offered amanat. No, it is al-amana. There's one amana in the singular. There is one very important amana, which means Allah has entrusted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. What is an amana? An amana is something that you entrust with somebody and then you expect something in return back from that amana. So Allah is saying, we offered the amana to the heavens, to the earth, to the jibal, to the mountains. And they refused to accept it. And they became scared of it. So first and foremost, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, even these inanimate objects, they have awareness and perception. Even the inanimate objects, and of course the Quran and the Sunnah, and frankly, even modern, you know, science and modern biology even seems to suggest it. Of course, their consciousness is different than our consciousness. But at some level, they do have some awareness. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, there's nothing except that praises Him. And Allah says that even the heavens and the earth are prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that I can hear the tasbih of the stones. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the mountain of Uhud loves us and we love it. So he ascribed an emotion to the mountain. The mountain of Uhud loves us and we love it. And as I said, even modern, you know, strands of biology and of science, they are also affirming that even plants and other, you know, inanimate objects we would consider, they might have some type of consciousness. And of course, the Quran affirms this. So Allah is saying these inanimate objects, and He gives examples, the samawat, all that is in the heavens, the ard, all that is below you, the jibal, the solid mountains, no creation wanted the amana, but insan wanted the amana. So what is this amana? So there are, as I said, more than 10 opinions. One opinion, the amana is the kalima of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the amana. That's one opinion. Another opinion, the amana is the salah. We offered them the amana that they have to salah, pray salah, and they have to pay the salah. The amana is they fulfill the obligation of salah. A third opinion, the amana is not just the salah, but all of the rituals, salah and zakah and siyam, i.e. the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is similar to the second opinion. The fourth opinion, the amana is the laws of Allah, the wajibat. All of the obligations, not just the rituals, but the obligations, including the hudud, including all of the shara'i of Islam. The fifth interpretation, it is even broader than this. It is the deen of Allah. The deen, which is the broadest. So if you look at the previous, all of them, They are aspects of the deen. This opinion, the entire deen is amana. We offered the religion of Islam to these inanimate objects. They all said, it is too big of a responsibility. Let us remain at our level. Don't give us the capacity to rise up, because with that capacity, we also have the capacity to fall down. Let us be neutral. We don't want to be tested. We don't want ibtila. We want to remain without ibtila, without having to answer to the amana. So all of the creation turned it down and insan took it. So these are five. Let's move on. So the first five all deal with aspects of Islam. We started from one, the kalima, to salah and ibadat, to mu'amalat, and then to the entire religion. Then there's another genre of interpretations. These are not dealing with external, it deals with internal, what is inside of us. So what is the amana according to another group of scholars? They said, one group said, and especially those that were the Mu'tazila type of scholars, they said the amana is free will. We have the capacity to obey and disobey. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. According to their interpretation, we have ultimate free will. And according to our interpretation, no, we don't have ultimate free will. وَمَا تَشَاءُنَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Our will is always under the will of Allah. But without a doubt, we have a type of mashi'ah or will that the inanimate object does not have. So according to this interpretation, amana is choice. And with choice comes privilege, but with privilege also comes the potential for failure. So this is another interpretation. Amana is mashi'ah or free will. Another interpretation, number seven, I think we are on. Another interpretation. Amana is aql, intellect. Allah offered all of these entities something that only one species will get, and that is intelligence, aql. And so insan said, I want it. And by getting it, insan became a different level. But again, with that level comes privilege and also comes the opposite. Yet another interpretation, number eight now. It is not just aql. It is all of the faculties. The faculty to hear, to see, to speak, to touch. We are the only species that has these faculties to that level. Especially the faculty of bayan. Ar-Rahman, allama Qur'an, khalaqa insan, allamahu al-bayan. Allah taught us, this is the amana that Allah gave us. And by the way, bayan would include aql, because bayan requires aql. You can have aql without bayan. You cannot have bayan without aql. You can have aql and not be intelligent speaker, but you cannot have bayan without aql. So all of this goes back to the privilege that man has been given. Yet another interpretation, and this is the interpretation of many of the modern thinkers of our times, such as Sayyid Qutb and perhaps also Maududi to a certain level, that amana here is social responsibility, or in enacting Allah's laws on earth, or the concept of khilafah, right? So the amana is the responsibility to be Allah's khalifa on earth, to effectively rule over the creation in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are obliged to treat the makhluq, to treat the inanimate objects, to treat everything around us by establishing justice, by establishing morality. That is the amana. So we have this, and this is a more modern interpretation, but we find elements of it in the past as well. Of course, these are all, I would say, within mainstream. There are also opinions we don't have time to get into that are, I would say, outside of our normative mainstream. For example, the famous philosophical Sufi Ibn Arabi, the one who wrote Fusus al-Hikam and whatnot. So, you know, they have a different interpretation. I'm just narrating to what he said, that this amana is the divine nur of Allah that he placed in the qulub of the servants. Because they believe that, and this goes back to Gnosticism, it goes back to elements of ancient religions and whatnot, they believe there's a spark of divinity in all of us, let's say, right? There's a bit of, you know, Allah's light in all of us. We don't believe this, but that's their interpretation. So they say, this is the nur that is in the qalb, that all of us have to have that amana. And then, of course, you have like the non-Sunni groups, the Ithna Ashari al-Majlisi, for example, the famous scholar of the Ithna Ashari strand. He says the amana, of course, is the concept of the imams and whatnot. So they have other interpretations. But for us, in our tradition, as I said, there's over 10 interpretations. Now, which one is right? If you look at all of these that I have given you, the 10 mainstream ones, in reality, what we are talking about is something that makes insan different from the other makhlukat. And therefore, all of these are manifestations of this amana. Some of them are external, and that is the religion of Islam, and others are internal, and that is why are we different from the other makhluqat. And in fact, I don't see a contradiction saying all of these examples that I have given are a part of Allah's amana. We created man to be different, and we entrusted man with something that the other makhluqat do not have. What do we have that the other makhluqat do not have? Well, first and foremost, we have Allah has given us faculties that He has not given other creation. And secondly, Allah has revealed to us the religion and the deen and the Quran and sent prophets to us. And therefore, all of this comes together, because there would be no sense of sending prophets if Allah hadn't given us the aql to understand the prophets. There would be no sense to send the Quran if Allah had not given us the knowledge to understand the bayan of the Quran. So the two of these, internal and external, actually go together. Because if Allah had created us with aql but without hidayah, where would be the amana? And if Allah had sent down the hidayah but without aql, what's the purpose of hidayah? So the amana is a special privilege that we have and the other makhluqat do not have. That privilege is manifested in how we are different and in how Allah has blessed us. So Allah says, we gave it to all of these creation. Now if somebody says, how could they have refused? We respond, arada is not a command. Arada is to display. Literally in Arabic, when you say arada, literally like the merchant displays his wares, which indicates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving them the choice. Unlike when Allah said to the angels, bow down to Adam, there is no choice. Usjudu. This is not arad, this is amr, this is command. As for this, it is clear Allah is giving them a choice. Do you want the amana? And all of the makhluqat said it is too big of a responsibility. We would rather remain without being tested, and this means we will give up the possibility of being rewarded Jannah, but we're also saving ourselves the possibility of entering Jahannam. It's neutral, neither positive nor negative. We'd rather remain there. Then when insan was given this choice, insan immediately carried the amana. He put it on his back. I want this amana. Now, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give this choice to all of insan? The majority of scholars say no. He gave it to our father Adam alayhi salam. And when Adam accepted it, either we can say that just like we are dependent upon our fathers and their fathers before us, like there's elements of our father's responsibility that we do bear in terms of where we were born, in terms of our upbringing and privilege. It's something that comes with the territory. So when Adam took it on, then the children of Adam also have to take it on. And another interpretation is that Adam took it on, but Adam is symbolic of all of us. If we were there, we would have done it as well. Adam is our father. Adam is my father and your father. So by Adam accepting, Allah is indicating you would have accepted it too. That's how you are. And a third interpretation is that actually Allah gave the amana to all Bani Adam. And this goes back to another verse in the Quran. I have spoken about this, I think, 2 years ago. And that is Surah Al-A'raf, when Allah says, recall when I took the covenant from the children of Adam. From all of the children of Adam. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ بَنِي آدَمَ. And Allah said, am I not your Lord? And they all said, yes, you are our Lord. So another interpretation, actually the amana was offered not just to Adam, but to all of us. And we all accepted that amana. And this is interesting, because some of these, you know, atheists, these agnostics, they say, I didn't have a choice. I wasn't asked whether I want to be a creator or not, because, you know, they really fetishize consent, right? Consent to the point of it becoming irrational. You know, consent has a role in Islamic law, but there are things that are beyond consent. Yani, and some of these agnostics and atheists say, it's not fair. I didn't choose to be created. You didn't ask me. If they go down that route, we have an argument from the Quran. Actually, we believe you were. We believe that choice was given when you were in your soul, in your ruh. And we, as a creation, as a species, all of us were eager to accept this amana, because we wanted that that responsibility because we wanted that power, because we wanted the potential to rise up, the potential to be tested and pass the test, and we were not that concerned about the possibility of failure. And that's why Allah says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. Man is consistently wronging himself. ظَلُوم means ظَالِم is doing wrong once. ظَلُوم, he's doing wrong continuously. Man is not capable of being sinless. Man is consistently falling short. Jahul, jahil, you are ignorant. Jahul, utterly ignorant, is the more stronger, if you like, fa'ul, it's the more efficacious siga, or the sigat al-mubalagha is called, which is, I don't know how to translate sigat al-mubalagha, it's called the exaggerated state. He is very jahil, jahul, that's what we call it, very jahil. So insan is zalum and jahul. Now pause here. Does this mean we are at a disadvantage? If somebody will say, well, that's not fair, I wasn't, you know, it's not my choice that I'm zalum and jahul. We respond, don't take just one phrase and ignore the rest of the Quran. Firstly, the very next verse we're going to come to, Allah mentions the way out. And secondly, Allah is describing that compared to the other creation, man is hasty, man is prone to commit sin, and man does not recognize how ignorant he is. The other creation actually are more responsible in this regard. And this is in the Quran, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Man has been created weak. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Man is so hasty. But these verses should not be taken in isolation of other verses, which indicate Allah has privileged the children of Adam. Allah has blessed the children of Adam. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have honored the children of Adam, and we have given them privilege over many of the other creations that we have. وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. We have preferred the children of Adam over the majority of other creations. And Allah mentions in the Quran about the creation of Adam, and He says to Iblis, why wouldn't you prostrate and bow down to that creation which I fashion with my own two hands? This is a privilege. خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ. Allah is saying, I fashion Adam. No other creation has been shaped by my own hands other than Adam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preferred us over all the creation when He commanded even the angels to bow down to us. So you cannot just take ظَلُوم and جَهُول and خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ and خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفٍ and ignore the rest of the Quran. No. Man has been privileged. Man has been given things. But there are also negatives that man has to be aware of. And the reason for telling us those negatives is so that we overcome them. We do not fall prey to them. Then Allah says, so man took this amana, and man did not fully think things through. But still, because of this, لِيُعَذِّبَ اللَّهُ. The lam here, not to get too advanced here, it's not really technically for the Arabs in the audience, lam ta'liliya. It's rather a causal lam. In other words, what the Quran is saying, therefore, based upon the amana, there will be some people who will be punished and others who will not be punished. The lam here, it links back to the amana. Based on this, therefore, some people will be punished. Who will be punished? Munafiqeen, munafiqat. Because the munafiq, what is the characteristic of the munafiq? He doesn't fulfill the amana. This is literally the characteristic of the munafiq. And the worst munafiq is the one who fails the biggest amana, which is the amana between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why in this verse, Allah begins munafiq before the mushrik. لِيُعَذِّبُ اللَّهُ مُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ. So this also indicates, therefore, that the amana is tawheed. It is the deen of Allah. It is believing in Allah, because the mushrik rejects the religion of Allah. So amana is therefore, as we said, internal and external. And so that Allah may forgive the believing men and women. By the way, mushrikeen, mushrikat, mu'mineen, mu'minat, munafiqeen, munafiqat. Both men and women are mentioned. And that is not common, because usually Allah only mentions the male gender, because the female is included. To indicate a very important point here, when it comes to holding the amana, both men and women are equal. And I have said multiple times in khutbahs and durus, I have said this phrase, real equality is equality in front of Allah. This is what we believe. This is real equality. As for roles and responsibilities, this is not equality. This is just laws. Real equality, the dignity of a man, the responsibilities of the man, the karama of a man is the same as the dignity, responsibility, karama of a woman. And this ayah proves it. The munafiqeen, munafiqat will be punished. The mu'mineen, mu'minat will be rewarded. Both are mentioned by gender because both genders equally are responsible for that amana. Now, interesting point before we conclude. وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ Allah says, I'm going to punish the munafiqeen and the mushrikeen and I will forgive. He didn't say reward. He said forgive. Because there's a subtle indication, two indications by choosing the word يَتُوب. Firstly, that you will never be able to fully convey the amana the way that it is deserved. You cannot. You cannot give back the amana perfectly. That's impossible. So nobody is going to be perfect. But then secondly, to indicate another beautiful point. No matter how imperfect you are, if you try, Allah will forgive you. You don't need perfection. Allah didn't say, and I'm going to reward the righteous. Because if Allah had said that, we would always be wondering, how will I ever get there? Allah said, no, don't worry. Yatub. No matter where you are, if you have mu'mineen, mu'minat, if you have iman, which means you are trying, you have that, even the flicker of iman, and you have some attempt, don't worry, I shall forgive the rest. The only people who will not be forgiven are the munafiqeen, the mushrikeen. They have no desire for Allah's forgiveness. They have no desire to fulfill the amana. But the mu'min who knows there's an amana, and who's trying to fulfill the amana, Allah says, don't worry, you shall be forgiven. Just do what you can. And Allah finishes this verse, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ what? غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا to contradistinct ظَلُوم and جَهُول. Because ظَلُوم requires مَغْفِرَة and جَهُول requires رَحْمَة. Allah says, don't worry, you're ظَلُوم, but I'm غَفُور. And you're جَهُول, and I am رَحِيم and رَحْمَان. So Allah is saying, yes, you have some negatives, but don't worry. Those will be overlooked by my positives. Any mistake you make, you're dhalum. Any mistake you make, I am ghafoor. I will forgive them. And any error you make because you're jahil, don't worry, my rahmah will encompass you. It will overcome your jahil. And so this beautiful ayah tells us a very optimistic message. It's a very beautiful message. And that message is, O Adam and children of Adam, yes, you might have been a little bit hasty. Yes, you took on a big responsibility that the other makhluqat did not want to take on. But and there is an element of hastiness, an element of dhulum and jahul. But don't worry, I wanted you to take this because I honored you. And I will take care of you. And I will forgive you even if you fall short. That is why I created you. Li, so that Allah can forgive the mu'mineen and the mu'minat. I created you to forgive you. And I created you to show my rahmah to you. All that I'm asking of you is you recognize that you are blessed. You have this amana on your backs. And you must pay it back to me the best that you can. If you do so, then there's guarantee from me. I shall yatub because I am ghafoor and I am rahim. What a beautiful message Allah has given us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us appreciate it, recognize it, and fulfill that amana so that we can obtain Allah's maghfirah and rahmah. Wajazakumullahu khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
فَيَا ذُلِّي وَيَا خَجَلِي إِذَا مَا قَالَ لِي رَبِّي أَمَا اسْتَحْيَيْتَهُ تَعْصِينِي وَلَا تَخْشَى مِنَ الْعَتَبِ وَتُخْفِي الذَّنْبَ عَنْ خَلْقِي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضاي.